Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Wanted to bring you an update of the D-Day prayer project, and that is adding FDR's D-Day landing prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. In fact, you could visit our website at ohioca.org, and there is a video there that explains the update. We'll be presenting a check to the Friends of the World War II Memorial for the design and construction phase of adding the prayer. And of course, we're approaching another anniversary of June 6th of this year of the D-Day landings. This will be the 74th anniversary since the liberation of Europe took place with the D-Day landings. There are still World War II veterans that are with us and will be there in Washington at the memorial next week. I'll be on hand as well, and we'll be presenting a check to the Friends of the World War II Memorial, again, to launch this national effort to raise the $2 million that's needed for the construction, upgrade, and placement of the prayer there at the World War II Memorial. You can learn more at our website at ohioca.org, and we appreciate that. And also, there's a video there that will explain it, so click on that link. Well, there was breaking news, of course, in Washington this week with Secretary Mike Pompeo announcing that he is going to have a meeting in July, and it will be about international religious liberty. And as we've talked about on this program, former Kansas Governor Sam Brownback has been named as the International Religious Freedom Ambassador. He was on hand for the announcement, and let's go to that report from Fox News right now.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will host his first foreign minister's summit in late July, the first ever ministerial to advance religious freedom.
The minister will also be my first to host as the Secretary of State, and that's very intentional. Religious freedom is indeed a universal human right that I will fight for, one that our team of the department will continue to fight for.
Secretary Pompeo announced the summit as the State Department unveiled its annual Religious Freedom Report, a required assessment of religious freedom in about 200 countries and territories. It berates countries like Iran, Russia, and Syria, and countries the administration is in sensitive security and economic negotiations with. On China, the report says, quote, "The government continued to exercise control over religion and restrict the activities and personal freedom of religious adherents when the government perceived these as threatening state or Chinese Communist Party." And on North Korea, the report says there are 80 to 100,000 political prisoners, some jailed for religious reasons.
You've got a gulag system operating in North Korea, and it's been a terrible situation for many years.
Former Senator and Kansas Governor Sam Brownback, the Ambassador for International Religious Freedom, unveiled the report today. He also says he requested Myanmar's government give him access to officials and areas where the military persecutes the Muslim minority Rohingya.
I believe it's ethnic cleansing of a religious minority that's taking place. This is going to require a lot of, I think, focus on the international community. Fortunately, the international community is focusing, but I think it's going to require action. And I think you'll see more action coming.
This religious report also mentions the case of an American citizen arrested and detained in Turkey, Pastor Andrew Brunson, one of tens of thousands arrested after a coup attempt there 2 years ago. Shannon?
Rich Hudson for us at the State Department. Thank you so much.
And that was a report on Fox News, of course, about the first of the summits by the new ambassador, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and with him on hand was, of course, Ambassador Sam Brownback. And we're so encouraged by this initiative by the State Department and this fully new position of the Ambassador on International Religious Freedom to be Sam Brownback. I could think of no one more fitting to be in that role at this time. We really want to applaud President Trump and his thrust to actually emphasize religious liberty, not just here in America, but around the world. And of course, the persecuted religious minority in the Middle East, the Christian community. And we're going to be following up on that in weeks to come on this program. We're going to have a number of special guests And with us today is a special guest who has just been announced and appointed to the U.S. Commission on International Freedom. And she currently is the executive director of Patriot Voices. That's, of course, our good friend Rick Santorum's organization that he formulated out of his presidential campaign. And they do some fine work nationally, and we've actually partnered with them and paralleled efforts as well. But she was appointed to the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. And I had the opportunity of sitting down with her at one of the dinners at the CNP meetings in Washington recently. So please welcome Nadine Maenza, who has been appointed to the position. Nadine, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so thankful that you're talking about these important issues and bringing on guests and, you know, just even listening to the news. It was really encouraging that we all understand what's happening, and sometimes so far away from us that it's easy for us to not see it in our daily news feed, but it really is important.
That's right, because these are folks who are suffering around the world, and yeah. their stories are not being told. And certainly over the last number of years, there's been kind of a deaf ear, unfortunately, at the State Department. You think about the State Department really could play a vital role. When we saw that ISIS announced a caliphate in Syria in northern Iraq and actually became a terrorist army on the move and was able to take a large city of Mosul in northern Iraq and the towns and villages in northern Iraq and persecute Christians, Yazidis, and of course moderate Muslims, Sunni Muslims. And this was an atrocity, and actually later declared a genocide upon the Christian people, because they were driven from their homes and villages. Many of them were killed and persecuted. They were forced to either convert to Islam, pay a heavy fine, or face execution. And the reports were replete with examples of where there were those who were slain, men, women, and children. So right. It was a horrible situation, and it was almost like a stand down type attitude by the administration, and then we had no forces agreement in leaving Iraq, and so the central government in Iraq was inept, to say the least, and so the Kurds became our best operative ally in the region to host the became 3.5 million refugees that sought refuge within the territory of the Kurdish government. We say territory, yet they don't have, they're one of the largest people group in the world, largest, that doesn't have an actual country. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And it's they've been really good allies to us, but it's all so complicated in the Middle East with all the tensions and, you know, rising them up to be a country is all sorts of opposition to that, but they have been a good ally, and they certainly, did really take care of so many of those fleeing the Nineveh Plains after ISIS came in and really committed genocide and systematically went from house to house to eliminate Yazidis, Christians, Shias. And so they really have been good friends. And I had the opportunity to go there a couple years ago and visit with several of the people involved there and visit some of the people in refugee camps, and they still have a whole lot of people there and need support. But the Middle East is continues to be problematic for religious minorities, and you know, there doesn't seem to be an easy answer other than working to change really the culture there so that people will accept look at things differently. I work with a group called Hardwired Global, which is an amazing organization that does training. A lot in Iraq, they'll work with people in different, you know, the media, law, teachers, and to change the way they look at religious freedom and to raise up religious freedom advocates in the majority religion most of the time, although they're in all religions. But a lot of times it matters the most, of course, if you're finding these in the majority religion. And so when I was in Iraq a couple years ago, I had the opportunity to meet a professor from Baghdad University who had opened up his computer and showed me his Facebook group for his religious freedom club. This is a Sunni Muslim who has a religious freedom club, because he had become an advocate, understanding that to fight radicalization. You have to instill this desire for human rights and for religious freedom. So there really are these pockets that are really beautiful happening all through the Middle East of people that are raising up advocates, you know, but then there are, of course, are those that are still trying to radicalize others. So it's just a constant battle. You know, the thing we talked about, you know, we talked about the last administration. The one thing I wanted to mention is I know you have Congressman Frank Wolf coming up. You know, he's a giant in obviously in this field. But, you know, 20 years ago when the International Religious Freedom Act was passed in 1998, it instituted the Office of Religious Freedom, but also the commission I'm on. And I just want to explain a little bit different about what's different with Ambassador Brownback. So he is the ambassador. Of course, he works at the State Department, and he has an Office of International Religious Freedom. The State Department just yesterday, I was actually down there with Ambassador Brownback, and they put out a report, you know, going through each of the countries. And they also list countries of particular concern. They have 10 of them right now, one on a watch list of the countries that are the worst offenders on religious freedom. So they have an entire operation there, and we've never seen a more united office there now with Ambassador Brownback, with President Trump, with Secretary of State Pompeo, as you can see by him, you know, deciding his first gathering of foreign ministers is going to be to talk about religious freedom. I mean, that's just almost unbelievable. And so, but the neat thing about Frank Wolf, when he introduced this bill 20 years ago, they got passed it, that set this up. They also set up this independent office, the Commission on International Religious Freedom, and that's what I'm a part of. So it's independent of the administration. It's actually congressional, believe it or not. But we have 9 commissioners. We have a staff. And what we do is we're appointed, the president appoints some. He has 3, the House representative has 3, and the Senate has 3. And so it's also mixed, so it ends up being 5-4, depending on who's the president. So right now it'll be 5-4 Republican. It was 5-4 Democrat before. So it just gives us the opportunity where if the administration isn't going down the road of calling out some of the things they should be calling out, then the commission can be doing that. And so they kind of, it's meant to kind of be a check and a balance so that we have, you know, not everything is political. Sometimes in the administration, it's really easy for things to be very political. Like, do you really want to call this country out if you're trying to do this economic deal with them? Where the commission doesn't have those constraints, so we're able to call out. For example, we have 28 countries that we've called out as countries on tier 1 or tier 2 of countries of particular concern, but the State Department only has 10. So it really is a little different, but we really think that within the next couple of years that we're going to be working together really closely, and we're going to be able to have the opportunity to make a real difference for those who are suffering for their faith.
We're talking with Nadine Mayenza, who is a new appointee to the U.S. Commission on International Freedom, again, an independent council that appointments from Congress and from the president to oversee religious liberty. And they'll be working in parallel and partnership, obviously, with what Ambassador Brownback is doing on international religious freedom in his new role. And then, of course, Ambassador Mike Pompeo, I mean, which is so encouraging. You know, all I can think of, Nadine, is that, you know, we kind of lost 16 months with the first Secretary of State, unfortunately. I don't know what Mr. Tillerson was thinking, and I don't know. Yeah. It was one of those things where it wasn't a match. You know, the president came into office. He was receiving suggestions. He took those suggestions. He put people in positions. And some of them, you know, obviously they weren't suited for the mission of this administration. And I'm so thankful that the president is actually getting the people in place that he is comfortable with, that he feels confident in, that is going to fulfill kind of the vision and you know, the world thrust that he wants to do, obviously internationally with his foreign affairs policies and also domestically. So this is one in which I think now the bright people are in place to get things done quickly. Already we have seen in this administration, from what, you know, my years of experience in this position, I have not seen any previous administration in my time do as much for religious liberty as I've seen this current administration. I mean, in a very aggressive manner, and a compliment, not just a a tacit throwing you kind of a couple of bones, but I mean really get down on the ground type of real material to move forward on religious liberty, not only in this country, but also internationally. Your thoughts?
Exactly. I mean, Ambassador Brownback, the first thing he did, believe it or not, was he went to Myanmar, tried to go to Myanmar. He couldn't get in, of course. So he went to Bangladesh and visited the Rohingyas, a Muslim minority who are literally right now, they call it ethnic cleansing. They show hallmarks of genocide for sure, that this is maybe one of the worst violence happening against religious minority in the world right now. So, you know, he immediately went to one of the most least glamorous places on earth to see firsthand what was happening. And I think that says so much about him being a hands-on ambassador, wanting to see it for himself, wanting to understand all religions, you know, that we fight for all or for none. It just is the way that it works. And I think we all agree, if we're a Christian, that we want to show the love of Christ by fighting for others' freedom as well. And, you know, so I really am encouraged by what I've seen with Ambassador Brownback and the focus, and of course with the ministerial meeting that we have in July, that this will be, we're just getting started with the international religious freedom. So I'm so honored to be a part, and I'm really excited to see the opportunities we'll have before us to really fight for those who are being oppressed.
Yesterday, of course, the 2017 annual report on international religious freedom was released by Ambassador Brownback and Secretary Pompeo. It is actually on their website. And what I really like about this, in fact, I was talking to some of the staff today, and they said this is the best that they've ever seen, the way that it's very user-friendly. So, folks, I want to encourage you to go to the U.S. State Department. That's just state.gov. And if you go there, U.S. Department of State, and just Google that, right on the front page, you'll find the report. And so click on that link, 2017 International Religious Freedom Report. Click on that link. It will take you. You can actually produce your own report. So if there's countries that you are interested in, it's like a three-step process, and it will produce a report for you and give you the stats and what's happening in those countries currently of what the status of religious liberty is. So it's really fantastic. Have you had a chance to look at this yet, Nadine?
I have, and I'm looking forward to doing a deeper dive on it. The commission also has a report that's very similar that we put out. Ours is more countries. So there are 10 countries focused, although they do more countries in the State Department. But really, there's different information in both. So if you really want extra information, go to the State Department, and you can just Google the commission for International Religious Freedom Report, and it'll take you right to the site, and also gives you an opportunity to show you some other country options to let you know what's going on in those countries as well.
Oh,
there's a lot of good information by the government out there, yes.
I was not aware that the commission has its own report,
yes,
separate from the State Department. Okay.
We do. So very independent. So this way, like I said, it's when you do have those times where the administration isn't paying attention much, then they have the opportunity for the commission to continue that, or really vice versa, I guess it could be. So that this way there's always better opportunity that good information is getting out there about, you know, what countries are oppressing religious freedom. And really, I think the commission, what our goal will be is to make recommendations for what we can do to stop that, and make those to Ambassador Brownback and to the government. And hopefully, and of course, I think when you look at the new commissioners, you'll see a lot of people that interact a lot with the grassroots. And I don't think you normally had that in the past. A lot of times they're academics. So I do think that part of our goal will be to raise awareness in our country of what's happening around the world. So I think you're going to be hearing a lot more from the commissioners in the next couple of years. And of course, Ambassador Brownback will be a great person for that, too, to share, you know, what is going on and what we can do as Americans to pray for those being oppressed and to act, and how we can get good policies and good foreign policy that will support those being oppressed.
Well, absolutely. Again, we're talking with Nadine Mayenza, and she is a new appointment to the U.S. Commission on International Freedom. What is the website again of the commission's website where they can obtain the report?
Sure. So ours, people call the commission for short USIRF. So it's USCIRF. So USIRF.gov. So the acronym for U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. So www.usurf.gov. But like I said, you could also just Google Commission for International Religious Freedom, and it'll pull up that website.
You know, this is really a harmony. As you said, normally it might even be a checks and balance because you might have an administration mm-hmm. that's not favoring
right.
this kind of thrust. Now you've got this harmony and synergy. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what we're going to do with all this unity. We're going to be, you know, it's like the president said, mm-hmm. we're going to get tired of winning here.
No, really, it's a really good thing. I think a lot of people are going to benefit. I'm really looking forward to how we can move the ball forward, because really it's been going backwards. Every year we've been more and more countries are oppressing. It's going in the wrong direction. So I'm hoping that we can get things moving in the right direction.
Well, that's right. And of course, you know, the president has been oppressing the initiative, obviously opening up dialogue again with North Korea, and then right. seeing the release of those who have been held in North Korea, which is great. We do have a pastor that's being held in Turkey that was arrested during the time of the coup last year. He wasn't part of it, of course, but kind of the collateral damage. He was in country doing ministry and was arrested. So we see the clamping down in Turkey.
Right.
Certainly, the you know, the genocide and atrocities that have taken place in northern Iraq and Syria, and in the war zones have been you know, replete examples. And that, you know, thankfully most of that is over, at least obviously in Iraq, as ISIS has been eradicated out of the borders of Iraq, and they're the last vestiges of them are held up somewhere in Syria. But the folks, the Chaldean Christian community, let's talk about that for a few minutes. We on this program obviously have a relationship for the last, since 2014. Our listeners are aware of these people. Joseph Kassab of the Iraqi Christian Advocacy Organization of Greater Detroit, and Nathan Kalasho, who runs a school in Greater Detroit, and the various people that have come on over the years, Senator Portman, retired General Mike Marbaro, who has done work with the Kurds and in northern Iraq after his retirement from the U.S. Army. And we've talked about, you know, over the last several years, obviously the plight of Iraqi Christians, and then now the way for them going forward. There are those who want to return to their homes in Mosul and, you know, the northern territory and the Nineveh Plain. And it's a hard way forward. I saw the before and after pictures of Mosul itself.
Yeah.
And it was just devastating to see before and after ISIS. And so you had a chance to be on the ground there. This will certainly be a discussion of the commission going
right.
forward to have the resettlement of these people. There does seem to be, with the current central government in Iraq, more of an olive branch and more of a you know, a benevolent type experience that the Chaldean Christian community is experiencing, even though they're a severe minority now within Iraq. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I'm hearing, you know, the same thing, that there's hope. You know, some people want to go back, some don't. And I think that we need to support both. You know, we need to support those. I mean, I know of a group of Christians that are in a refugee camp in Jordan right now that, you know, their whole village was destroyed. It's just gone. You know, and where their village was close to still a hostile area. So for them, going back probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So they're trying to figure out, you know, where God would have them go next. So it's really, I think we need to support those that want to come back, and then we need to help those that can't come back. Because I think, you know, that you know, small percent of people that cannot go back again, that cannot be relocated, those are the most vulnerable. Those are the ones that we do need to help. So there's still a lot of work to be done to help, you know, Christians and Yazidis that did have to flee, that are in refugee camps, either in Jordan or Erbil, that you know, that their children, unfortunately, oftentimes are being raised underclass because they're not getting a good education. So yeah, we definitely need a lot of work to do. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we can be helpful.
Absolutely. Nadine, thank you so much for being my guest today. We'll have you back on again. Congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you.
To the U.S. Commission of International Religious Freedom. And God bless you for your service. And we thank you so much. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. God bless.
Again, that was Nadine Mayenza, and she is currently the Executive Director of Patriot Voices with Rick Santorum, but also now appointed to the U.S. Commission of International Religious Freedom. You want to stick around? We'll be right back with Frank Wolf, and former congressman, and he's the one that started all of this 20 years ago, and he's going to tell us about the legislative work that got us to where we are now with an ambassador for international religious liberty. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Just this week, the U.S. Department of State delivered its annual report on international religious freedom, and it's up on their website, and you can go there to the U.S. State Department. It's on the front page, and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo rolled it out with Ambassador Sam Brownback. As you remember, former Governor Sam Brownback was appointed as the new Ambassador for International Religious Freedom, and he was on hand for the rollout of this report. And this is really good news because the Secretary also announced that his first foreign ministry summit will be on international religious freedom. Let's go to their report right now.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will host his first foreign ministers summit in late July, the first ever ministerial to advance religious freedom.
The minister will also be my first to host as the Secretary of State, and that's very intentional. Religious freedom is indeed a universal human right that I will fight for, one that our team of the department will continue to fight for.
Secretary Pompeo announced the summit as the State Department unveiled its annual Religious Freedom Report, a required assessment of religious freedom in about 200 countries and territories. It berates countries like Iran, Russia, and Syria, and countries the administration is in sensitive security and economic negotiations with. On China, the report says, quote, "The government continued to exercise control over religion and restrict the activities and personal freedom of religious adherents when the government perceived these as threatening state or Chinese Communist Party." And on North Korea, the report says there are 80 to 100,000 political prisoners, some jailed for religious reasons.
You've got a gulag system operating in North Korea, and it's been a terrible situation for many years.
Former Senator and Kansas Governor Sam Brownback, the Ambassador for International Religious Freedom, unveiled the report today. He also says he requested Myanmar's government give him access to officials and areas where the military persecutes the Muslim minority Rohingya.
I believe it's ethnic cleansing of a religious minority that's taking place. This is going to require a lot of, I think, focus on the international community. Fortunately, the international community is focusing, but I think it's going to require action. And I think you'll see more action coming.
This religious report also mentions the case of an American citizen arrested and detained in Turkey, Pastor Andrew Brunson, one of tens of thousands arrested after a coup attempt there 2 years ago. Shannon?
Rich Hudson-Force at the State Department, thank you so much.
Well, this new position of the Ambassador on International Religious Freedom that Sam Brownback now chairs or is the ambassador of, along with the commission in Congress, is the work of former Congressman Frank Wolf and many years of work of the International Religious Freedom Act that was passed. And this has to be a really proud moment for him. And he's with us on the phone right now in his new position with the Wilberforce, the 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative. Congressman, welcome to the program.
Sure, thank you. It's good to be with you.
Well, thank you, sir. I've been a fan for a long time. It's an honor to be able to talk with you today, and we've always supported your efforts over the years. And do I understand that this is the 20th year since you first rolled this out?
Yes. This October will be the 20th anniversary of the passage of the bill. So, yeah, this is the 20th year.
And yet now it's full come to fruition. I mean, you, this has to be a proud moment for you, sir. I mean, when you hear Mike Pompeo announcing his first summit will be on international religious freedom, paired with the new ambassador, your former colleague and good friend, I'm sure, Sam Brownback, now chairing that, you know, that having that position. And then you have some fine people that are serving on the commission as well. Your thoughts?
Well, you're absolutely right. I've always said personnel is policy, and I think we have some of the best personnel to work on this policy issue that you could possibly have. The new secretary is totally committed. Governor, then Senator Sam Brownback, now Ambassador Brownback, is totally committed to this. And in fact, as we were together on a trip to Darfur years ago when we came back and we urged the Congress and the government to call it genocide there. So you couldn't have a person who's more committed. And then you just mentioned the new appointments to the commission have been very, very good. Several the president appointed the other day, and then Senator McConnell appointed Tony Perkins from the Family Research a couple of days before that. So you probably have the strongest team that I can remember, both at the State Department and in the administration, and also on the commission.
Well, you know, the National Day of Prayer's theme this year, and I had the privilege and honor of being at the Rose Garden at the White House this year, and the theme was unity. And I see unity in this effort here, of course, with the Secretary of State, the ambassador, the commission, folks in Washington, the president himself. This is going to be a great thrust to really speak and address the issue of religious freedom and those being persecuted around the world. On our program, we have covered over the last number of years, actually since the August of 2014, when ISIS invaded northern Iraq. There was one coincidence after another that kind of put us in touch with the Iraqi Christian community. It started with registering a new citizen, Zina Aziz, whose family came from Baghdad, a Chaldean Christian, and it was in Columbus, Ohio, and I registered her to vote, and we got to be friends. And then not long after that, later the summer, of course, ISIS invaded northern Iraq. And I reached out to Zina, and she said, our family's in turmoil. We have family over there. And then Senator Portman said, Chris, can you get some folks together? I'd like to talk to them on my recess. And this was all happening at the same time. And I said, Zina, would your folks like to come on the radio program? She said, well, you know, they'd like to sit down and talk with the senator. So we put that together, and they brought in, of course, Joseph Kassab, who I think you know in Greater Detroit. And that's when I met him and Nathan Colasio and a number of others from the Chaldean Christian community of Greater Detroit. We brought him into Columbus, and we started a relationship in advocating with them, our organization, with Senator Portman's office during the Obama administration. Of course, ISIS was a terror army. They was just in a terrorist encampment. I mean, they sacked the weapons stash and the Capital Bank of Mosul with $600 million in it. So they were well-funded, and they seized all the weaponry that the U.S. forces left for the Iraqi army in Mosul. And they were a real threat to the Kurds and everybody else in the region. Then the president woke up and started the air campaign. Little did anybody know that we had moved most of our personnel from the embassy in central Baghdad to Erbil earlier. So most of our personnel was there. I mean, we almost had a real serious crisis on our hands with hostages and you name it. But thankfully, that was repelled. The people were watching. So we were advocating for people to get visas and to be able to, of course, the drama that played out on the mountaintop there was, you know, my son served in Iraq. He actually one of his tours was in northern Iraq. He actually toured Mosul during the one election cycles. He served 2 full years in Iraq, 3 different deployments with the 82nd Airborne. So he had a great interest. Many Iraqi veterans did as to what was happening to the people they were actually trying to help. So we were very much engaged in that, and that kind of played out. And even people on this radio station contributed coats as they were going into winter, as many of these people didn't have any housing. They were held up in the Kurdish territory without housing in the open and all that. So we kind of worked with them and suffered through with them and trying to find out as much information as possible and aid them. But it basically, thankfully for the new administration coming in, Trump's administration, and basically equipping our allies and those on the ground to basically push ISIS back out of northern Iraq. Frank, what is the position right now of ISIS in Syria, and what is the condition of the Christian community there in Syria? Because we're not getting a lot of intel about that specifically.
Well, I was out there a couple months. We were out there last August. With the Samaritan's Purse. We spent a week out there through Mosul, Bartella. We were at Sinjar Mountain, all the
Sinjar, yeah.
You mentioned. And we were out there then a year before that. The conditions have changed fairly dramatically. ISIS in that region has been defeated. When we were there, we saw a number of trucks beginning to move back. The people are beginning to move back into Bartella and Karakush. So it's positive in the sense that there's movement to return, but they're concerned about several things. One, security. So it needs to be something to make sure they are secure. Perhaps we should be training their National Guard. Let's not call them militia, but their security. Secondly, restoring housing, water treatment plants, and different things like this. Fortunately, the administration, and through the efforts of both the president and the vice president, has changed the policy with regard to aiding the Christian and the Yazidi community. In the previous administration, most of the aid was going through the UN. Now some continues to go through the UN, but they're directing it that will be to aid the Christian and Yazidis also. But a lot is going to go directly to Christian groups and Yazidi groups. So There's a lot of optimism. The Christian community is now down to about, officially, some people say 250,000. I was with Bishop Werda a week and a half ago. He was saying maybe the number is around 200,000. So this is the time, because you have the new team at State Department. You have the commission acting. You have the vice president gave that great speech a couple months ago. You have a new head of AID, Mark Green, who was a former ambassador and a former congressman, committed to putting the resources. This is a time for the church in the West to kind of come alongside whatever is being done. Most of the Christians there really want to stay. In fact, they love their community. It's a beautiful area, as you're right, very cold in the winter, but beautiful. And so I think here's an opportunity to really make a big, big difference. Samaritan's Purse has done a great job.
Yes.
Franklin Graham's group.
Yep.
The Knights of Columbus have done a great job. The Dominican Sisters have done a great job. But I think if it was just anything to make this thing work, it would be for individual churches and groups to adopt communities or to adopt families. Because if you go too much below the 200,000, you're going to begin to reach a tipping point. There
yes.
was a study done by the Age of the Church in Need, and they're saying it needs dramatic action. But the good news is they are going back. They want to stay. They love their region, but they need the security, and they need more assistance with regard to rebuilding their home. So I think this is an opportunity for the church to step up. There was a lot of interest with regard to helping those that want to leave. Almost everyone that we spoke to said they want to stay. They love their country. It's a beautiful place. You know, there's more biblical activity that's taking place there than any other country other than Israel. Abraham,
that's true,
which is in Nasiriyah. Daniel spent most of his life in Babylon. Ezekiel's buried there. I mean, Mosul blew up Jonah's tomb. The ISIS did in Mosul. But they're coming back. So here's the time. I think this is a very good time to basically save the Christians and also the Yazidis. The Yazidis have suffered tremendously. There are still roughly 2,000 Yazidi women and girls who are still missing. Many are feared perhaps dead. But I think there's a need to really come around both the Christian community and the Yazidi community. But I think this is an important time. Like I started out, personnel is policy. And we have a personnel at the State Department, at the AID, and certainly at the Vice President's office and the President's office that really are committed to turning this around.
We're talking with Frank Wolf, former congressman from Virginia, who served 17 terms but is now the senior fellow at the 21st Wilberforce Initiative, and they work on issues of religious liberty. And, of course, he was the author of what was the International Religious Freedom Office that founded that, and why we have an ambassador for international religious freedom, Sam Brownback. And what a joy that is to see him be appointed to that and to see what's going on. And I feel a little bit as if the first 16 months of the administration, a little time was lost with the first Secretary of State, my opinion. And I'm so glad that Mike Pompeo was appointed. And actually, I think it pairs well with the president's interests. There seemed to be a divergent view of his predecessor and the president. I'm glad to see that Mike Pompeo and the president are working hand in hand. Things just go better when that happens. So your thoughts, Frank?
Well, I don't want to say anything negative about Secretary Tillerson. I know he's a good person, and I think he came at a very, very difficult time. And I don't really know. I don't know him. I've never met him. But I think Pompeo will do a good job. I think he and Ambassador Brownback have a very good relationship, because obviously Ambassador Brownback was the governor of Kansas and Secretary Pompeo was a congressman from Kansas. Also, Ambassador Brownback was governor when Vice President Pence was governor. So they all know each other very well. They've spent a lot of time with each other. They've worked on issues together. So I think there is a unique opportunity. I think Secretary Tillerson came in at kind of a difficult time and didn't have those personal contacts. But I think he was a good person and just kind of got stuck in an environment that wasn't quite as conducive. But I think now you have a good opportunity to really make a difference. And personal relationships make a big difference. I mean, they really do make it. I mean, they'll be able to kind of, they know each other and they've served with each other. So there is a unique opportunity. And clearly, I think the president has a special chemistry with Secretary Pompeo. We're seeing this now with the North Korean thing.
Well, that's right. And so it's very, very encouraging. And thank you for what you do in what is your retirement from Congress, but not retired in any stretch of the imagination. Tell us a little bit about the 21st Century Wilberforce and what you're working now.
Well, there are a couple of issues. The issue of Iraq, we're still working on making sure the aid gets to the group so they stay. The other issue is Nigeria. You know, in Nigeria, you have the West is almost forgotten about Nigeria. Nigeria is the largest country in Africa. There are 180 to 200 million people there. In 2050, there'll be more people in Nigeria than there are in the United States. You have two of the most dangerous terrorist groups, are Boko Haram and also a group called the Fulani Militants. You've had 21,000 Christians have been killed in Nigeria. 900 churches have been burned and just destroyed. You remember 4 years ago, April, the Chibok girls were kidnapped. Half of them have not come back as of yet. So the situation there is really dire. And if Nigeria fragments and breaks up, which it is ready to do, then you're going to have Europe will be flooded with refugees. You're already seeing refugees from Nigeria, from Chad, from Cameroon and the surrounding countries crossing the Mediterranean, and of 1 million refugees out of Syria and Iraq destabilized Europe, where do you see 6 and 7 million coming out of there? So this is really an important issue, and I think the administration wants to deal with this. This is on the radar of Ambassador Brownback. I think he's scheduled to go there very, very soon. I personally think we need a special, I would call him a special advisor or a special coordinator with regard to that, because you have terrorism. The number one, I mean, Boko Haram is the number two terrorist group in the world. They pledged allegiance to ISIS. You have the Fulani militants. You also have massive corruption. You have human rights violations, religious freedom problems. So I think you almost need somebody to bring in almost like a coordinator. You may remember Plan Colombia years ago and what was taking place in Colombia.
Yes.
But somebody can bring in all those countries in Nigeria, the surrounding region, what I call the Lake Chad region, to come together. But Nigeria. The other issue is China. I mean, if you really follow what's taking place in China, every faith group now in China is being persecuted. The Catholic Church is being persecuted. House bishops are under house arrest. They're being harassed. Protestant pastors are in jail. Protestant lawyers, human rights lawyers that have been helping the Protestant Catholic Church and Uyghurs are being persecuted, are being thrown in prison. You have the Uyghurs, the Muslims, are being rounded up. There are now thousands, not two, three, thousands and thousands of Uyghur children are being taken away, put in detention camps, almost like Nazi Germany.
Oh, my.
And you've had 140 Tibetan monks and nuns that have set themselves afire in Tibet. You have basically cultural genocide in Tibet, and you have the Falun Gong are being pressured. And so I think what's taking place in China under President Xi is really one of the scariest things out there. And so a lot of attention has to be given. Now, the good news is the church is growing. It's growing tremendously. But when you visit there and when you talk to some of the people, they say, does America care? What are you going to do? Help us. Speak out. Because they look to us for leadership, and the Chinese are buying up movie theaters. You know, they bought up the AMC movie chain. They bought
right.
up Carmike, and they bought up studios, and they're trying to censor movies and the cyber attack. So I think China is really going to be on the front burner for a long, long time again. Every faith group in China, every single one, is being persecuted. I was with a Christian lawyer named Dr. Lee. He came over to go to the prayer breakfast. I was with him on February 8th, the day of the prayer breakfast. I said goodbye to him. He went back to China. He died. Many believe that he was killed. They're arresting people. So I think China has to be a focus, because the people of China need our help. And now you have all these Confucius Institutes. I don't know if you followed the Confucius Institute. They're on 100 major American colleges. They won't invite a Catholic bishop to come. They won't invite a Protestant pastor in. They won't invite the Dalai Lama in. You're not allowed to talk about Tiananmen Square. And so you almost have a propaganda effort by the Chinese government, and it's really pretty, pretty scary. So I think the church should be focusing on what's taking place in Nigeria, but also now in China. And as you know, there are so many passages in the Bible that tells us we should care deeply, deeply about this. But China, very, very bad. And Nigeria, 21,000 Christians killed, and very, very dangerous.
There's so much work to do to advocate for those who are being persecuted, the religious minorities around the world, and the Christian persecution around the world. We're talking with former Congressman Frank Wolf, who served 17 terms in the Congress from Virginia, who is now a senior fellow at the Wilberforce Initiative in Washington, D.C., and they advocate on behalf of religious freedom. Frank, what's the website for where folks can visit the 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative?
It's 21stCenturyWilberforce.com.
Well, thank you, my friend, and thank you for the work you're doing. And again, you know, just I hope that you feel very proud, as you should be, to see that your work in Congress over those many years. And by the way, I want to thank you because you served until 2015. That means you voted for the D-Day Prayer Project, which Congressman Bill Johnson was a sponsor of in the House. And, of course, you concurred with the Senate version. That's a project we're doing to add FDR's D-Day Prayer at the World War II Memorial. And
you have a lot of good members of Congress from Ohio. Senator Portman is a good fellow, that you said. Mike DeWine, who is, hopefully will be your next governor, is an outstanding person. And interesting enough, my very best friend in Congress was from Ohio. He was a Democratic member, Congressman Tony Hall. We were in a Bible study together for 32 years.
Oh, wow.
We'll meet together. Congressman Tony Hall from Dayton, Ohio. So the Ohio delegation, you have some great people in that delegation.
Well, thank you.
The good work you do.
Thank you. We're proud of our state, and thank you for all the work that you're doing, and we look forward to having you back on the program and you and your folks to keep up on what's happening so we can advocate for religious liberty here at home and around the world. Thank you. We appreciate
thank
it, Congressman.
You.
God bless
okay.
you.
Bye now.
Again, that was our honor to have with us former Congressman Frank Wolf, who is the senior fellow, distinguished senior fellow at the 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative, a advocacy group for religious liberty. And he served in Congress. He was the author of the International Religious Freedom Act, which brought us the ambassador for international religious freedom, which Sam Brownback now serves in. And, of course, as you heard earlier in the program, Nadine Manza, who serves on the commission that has appointees from Congress and from the president. They're going to be working together on advocating for religious freedom as we go forward. And we're going to give you updates on this program and have special guests on as well. Well, you want to visit our website at ohioca.org. If you missed any of today's program, you can hear us on the podcast. Also visit us on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn as well. And keep up on the issues that are happening here in Ohio at the State House and also in Washington, D.C., and it looks to be around the world as we advocate for religious liberty and for the Christian minority that's facing persecution in the Middle East and in Africa. Thank you for joining, and if you'd like to support this program, you like what you've heard, you can make a contribution at our website at ohioca.org and just click on the contribute button and make a donation of any size. Will help us stay on the air. We appreciate that. And again, each week we come to you at the same time. And tell a friend and check us out on our website again at ohioca.org. God bless and thank you.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.